Crunchy.
Food court with Richard Blaze. Argue in the food court with Richard Blaze.
Welcome to The Food Court, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Richard Blaze, and I am the host and judge of The Food Court. You bring me your food arguments, and I settle them here once and for all. Joining us in the court today, we have two amazing chefs who are no joke in the kitchen, but who do love to joke around. One is a judge on Chopped, an Iron Chef, maybe the Iron Chef, and the host of the new podcast, Four Courses. It's Jeffrey Zakarian. GZ.
You know, for a minute, I thought you were Tom Colicchio. Thank you for clearing that up.
Oh my gosh! Me?
With the hair.
Oh yeah, of course. Of
Love
course,
the
that,
hair,
happens, that happens
Come
all
on,
the time.
Nice to be here. Thank you for introducing me. There is a lot more to say about me, so maybe later on you can fill in the blanks because I have a huge file, and you missed about, you know, 3/3 of it.
Clearly, easily. I mean, best dressed usually comes to mind right off the top. And people can't see us because it's a podcast, obviously. But GZ, what color blue is that sweater you're wearing?
That is electric blue with red cashmere piping. And it's actually a workout sweater I designed with Roan. I work with Roan. It's a fabulous company out of New York City. I want to look good in the gym too, right? Come on, Jeff. Like, you know.
Listen, self-designed workout wear was not something I was expecting, but I should have from you, GZ. Going up against GZ, our other celebrity chef in the building right now. He is the sandwich king and a co-host on The Kitchen. It is Jeff Morrow.
Hi, Richard. Wow. Everybody's really
Jeff
impressed
Morrow.
I'm here along with you, Jeffrey. This is fun. Thanks for having me on.
I don't
know
how we managed to actually pull the two of you away from whatever projects you're rocking right now, but thanks for joining us. Jeff, you're joining us. People can't see you, but you are either in a guitar store or cutting it out.
I am, this is my little studio in the basement where I do my podcast and I record all my songs for that podcast. You know, I've written over the course of 2 seasons, 48 episodes of the Come On Over podcast, I've written 62 original songs. Played every instrument, produced it, mastered, recorded everything. And they're all, you know, very, very mediocre. So I'm proud of myself. That's what happens in the studio.
Well, you know, obviously, like, the word chef is like one of just many descriptions of both of you, right?
Yeah.
Fashion designer, musician, so many things happening right here. I only aspire, gentlemen, before we even go any further, like, I can only aspire to your greatness, to both of you. As someone's going to have to lose this contest today, I just want to make that clear that you are some of my favorite people in the world.
Thank you, Richard.
All right, now listen, the two of you, have a lot to say, and I can't wait to hear it. I did get your envelope, obviously.
Those are hundreds in case you don't
today,
know what they look like.
Ooh, ooh.
Wow. Really?
First of all, is that going to, bribing's not going to work, but then insulting
yes.
my financial status.
It both worked. Try
like
that
in one, like you complimented me and insulted me in the same line. Which
this
was
is life.
Amazing.
You know, it's a yin and yang.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get a jab in and then you give a kiss.
Yeah.
This is true. Okay, now listen, the two of you have a lot to say. We can't wait to hear it. But today we're talking about meat.
Ooh.
That's right. Something I've been waiting for someone to bring up in the food court. And I'm glad the two of you have. But before we get into that, let's chat a little bit. Zakarian, welcome to the podcast world. What can we expect when we listen to the new show, Four Courses?
Well, it's really not about food at all. So just to like get people set up, it's a show about performance and how you stay at the top of your game. And I just interview people I like and people I know and people I don't know. And that I'm fascinated by. I do a lot of reading and we just start at childhood and we go on to the present and the future. And it's fascinating. It's all like really relevant information that, you know, we're all dealing with what's happening now. And just to hear some of the stories is just, it's really incredible. And I've had some amazing guests. So.
Unbelievable. Well, welcome to the iHeart family. Also, listen, this is a question coming from producer Crystal. You have many experiences on the show Chopped. Do the Chopped judges always
agree? No. We don't always agree. I would say we agree 80% of the time, except when we get, when we agree when we get, you know, inferior cooks, like, you know, I'm not going to mention names, But when we get really inferior cooks in front of us, you know, it's easy to disagree and not to disagree. But there are times when, you know, someone comes up with something that I or someone else thinks is just mediocre and everybody thinks it's better and all that. So it's 2 out of 3. So, you know, we try to like work it out. But sometimes we get a little producer involved. They come down and we have a little rat-a-tat and we have to like go the end mile. But most of the time it's pretty evident, you know. By the way, on that show, you're deciding on which is least awful. You know, as you know,
I mean, generally speaking, of course, there are some shows where that's not the case.
Correct.
I'm on right now. Top Chef, of course.
Nice
but
plug.
That is kind of true. You know, you're in trouble. Here's my, as an audience member, someone who loves these shows, right? Who also participates, but loves them. Here's how you know someone's in trouble. If like one of the judges is like, this salad, it's like, I really love how you incorporated green into this salad. Like if the commentary is like that, right? It's like, you know, it's
no.
fresh. I
no,
love
this
that
is the best one. This is really a colorful plate. That's like the death. That's like, you might as well
yes.
shoot me now and just get me out of my misery. Because there's no redeeming value on that plate
it's true.
Colorful.
This is true. Now, Mauro, I hear you and Jeffrey have another food argument, something that we've already battled it out here on the food court, but you have a long-standing argument about deep dish versus New York City.
I wouldn't even say it's deep dish. I say just Chicago thin crust pizza versus garbage New York thin crust pizza. I mean, I can go all day if he
Whoa.
Wants me to. I mean, that's what I thought we would drum up here. I mean, let's start hot. Let's come out the gate hard and like, let's throw down. No, listen, I get as the sole non-East Coaster, basically, on the side of the kitchen. I'm outnumbered by Alex, Jeffrey, Sonny, and Katie, who all live in New York pretty much for the most part, and they disparage my taste and the wonderful pizza making artisans in the lovely city of Chicago, IL, and they judge without experience too, and that's what I hate the most of all. And he doesn't even eat pizza.
Well, listen,
he sees me eat pizza and he knows I'm passionate about it because I get in a pizza hole. He's seen me in a pizza hole, right, Jeffrey?
First of all, GZ, you're eating cauliflower pizza. Let's be honest.
No. Yes. And you know, it's those are some really nice remarks, Jeff. That's really kind of you to say that you're outnumbered. That's true. And it's also true that Chicago does have pizza and it's a different pizza than New York. That is true. But let's just for a fact talk about pizza
snooze.
In general.
Heard it, been
okay?
there.
Let's talk about pizza in general. Pizza in general was not invented in f***ing Chicago, pardon my language. It was invented in Naples.
Who said
okay?
it was? I never...
So if you're really talking about pizza, you're talking about una pizzeria Neapolitano. You're talking about Naples pizza, thin crust.
Yeah, it's great.
The best
Love
there
it.
Is. I don't mm-hmm. think anyone can say that that isn't the best pizza in the world. It's made
I'm
great.
Not, we're not. I don't even know when who brought the Napolitan style pizza into this. I don't even know when that word was brought up out of this. My big, beautiful, Invisaligned mouth. You son of a garbage
dump. Okay, let's just talk about Invisalign later. let me put my experience, which is 20 plus years more than your experience, on the line here, talking about pizza. There is such a thing as deep dish pizza, which you did make a really, really tasty version of on the kitchen. I thought that was excellent. However, if I may say so, I'm going to be generous here. I have not tasted a tasty pizza like that in Chicago yet. Maybe I haven't gone to the right places. Maybe, in fact, you haven't invited me for the right places. So I'm going to keep an open mind about this. But pizza, to me, is one of those things that it's indulgent, but it also can be delicious, sexy, fun, and absolutely, you know, you can't not like pizza if it's made good. You can't not eat a good pizza. If it's really fantastic, you cannot stop, right? Jeff, you know that, right?
True.
Because you
love
spent
it. I love
10
it.
Years
he,
of your life.
He stops me on set. You know, Richard, if they have, like, pizza on set or something, you know, sometimes
I stop
the
you.
Crew has pizza or it's laying around. He slaps my hand.
I do.
When I go in after it.
He
goes, Jeff, you know better.
No, he can't stop.
He's seen me at my worst.
No,
that's
it's like
why.
A drug. Yeah. It's a pizza's a drug for him. So
wow.
I will say that yes. I liked the deep dish you made, and you made it in that like carburetor pan that you from Detroit. It was really excellent. And I wanted.
Well, that's the Detroit. And then I did the Chicago
style.
So
what I've made, what I've eaten that you've made has been very good. So, but
there
I mean, why do we have to
so
have.
So I won.
Why does
Thanks,
New York
Richard,
to
for
be,
having me on. I won.
Why does New York have to
I
be
love
better?
America.
Why can't it just be like different and good?
I agree.
Rarely do I have to gavel.
Oh, is that the
gavel in? By the way, it's a Noki board and a cutting board.
What state is that?
But rarely do I have to gavel. This actually, good eye, by the way.
Oh, that's
Oregon.
Oh, hey, I'm really loving the new season too. We watch religiously, my wife and I, of Top Chef. It's really
great. Yeah, great state. Everybody's moving away. Great state.
Thank you for
anyways, everybody's moving to Florida. But
Listen, here's what definitely has been determined right here. I think Jeffrey, Jeff, Morrow, Zakarian, you got to come back and argue as a team, because that's what I just learned in this moment here about pizza. That I think you'd be in a formidable team on the court.
I'm in.
We get along very splendidly.
Anyway, throwing that out there.
We align more than we disalign. Okay, don't we, Jeffrey? And
Jeff has a lot of errors. I respect them. I have a couple of errors. He respects them as well.
But they're big errors. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, drop from a B minus to a D quickly with that one error, where I'm just like Johnny C average, which is great, right? Right in my wheelhouse. 2.35.
Johnny C average. I don't know. Johnny C average. You're also the sandwich king, though. So, real quick question. If you fold pizza in half, is it a sandwich?
Oh, it's just garbage pizza. I was like, why do you need to fold pizza in half? Oh. Why can't you just eat it like a human? Why do you have to fold it?
Okay.
Been sitting out all day, getting landed on flies, and then they reheat it. Do you like reheated cheese, melted cheese, Richard? You know what I'm talking about.
No,
see, I can't start
with
this.
Of course not. Obviously.
You got to have me back.
Obviously.
When season 95, when you revisit this argument, I'm in.
I think we're going to have to do it very, very soon. So obviously, heavy is the head that wears the crown, Sandwich King.
Yes, it is. It's great.
All right, listen, let's get into this, because we've already had at least four battles before we've even officially started. Please tell us about the case that you've brought to the food court today in around a sentence.
Dark meat is superior, and there are many reasons. I'm just going to touch on a few.
I'm gonna have to gavel. I'm gonna gavel you in, Jeezy. That it will be saved for the actual debate.
God.
Maura, what do you have to say about dark meat?
Dark meat is delicious. It's difficult, and most people prefer white meat for one very simple reason: texture.
Okay, they're both getting into their arguments, gaveling in on both Jeffrey and Jeff. This is a big one, folks. Thank goodness that I took that extension course at Judges School last fall. I had a lot of time.
Oh, congratulations.
During COVID, and we made that happen. So before we get into the arguments, here in our court, my court, Crystal's court, I like to have a quick trivia round before we get into the debate. The winner of the trivia round gets to decide the order that you present your arguments, but also trivia is fun. Duh. Now listen, since we're all recording from home still, we have to be creative with the buzzer sounds. Jeffrey Zakarian, what sound will you be making as your buzzer? Whoa!
That's
Jeffrey
his sound.
Jeffrey Zakarian coming
he's
in with
losing.
Sad
that
trombone.
Sad.
I did that. Oh. I played that sound for you.
Hold on a second.
Look at that.
I'm trying to figure out how I do
a
this.
Prankster.
Hold on just a second. I'm going to figure it out because I'm a smart guy, sort of. Ringer alert. That's mine. I'm going to ring the bell.
There it is. Old school phone ring. I think that's the office, the school, high school office.
That's how the phone rang in my house in 1963.
Listen, there it is.
When
I
we
don't
were ducking
it,
and
but...
diving during the Cuban Missile Crisis, that's the sound I heard. To get the fuck under the table because there's missiles coming in, and it was dinner on the table. I was pissed because my dinner was still hot. I don't want to eat cold filet mignon or cheval. I want fresh food, and my wine was at perfect temperature.
By the way, listen, that is the opening scene for the next Avengers movie right there. Like, you just
there
wrote the script for that's. All right, Jeff Morrow, you're going up against the sound of the phone ringing during the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1963. Under what is your sound, Morrow?
My sound will be, I don't know, how about we'll just do an applause. Does that sound good? Or we can always do a rim shot. How about that?
Let me hear the rim shot one more time.
Is that good
That's
enough?
A little weak, Panda Bear.
That works for me. Okay. It's the rim shot versus the phone call. Okay, here we go. Trivia round begins. Jeffrey Zakarian, Jeff Morrow. Question one. In 1978, what's the name of the sitcom that aired the infamous episode where Les Nessman covers a promotional turkey drop at a local mall? 1978 sitcom.
One more time.
An episode about a turkey. Oh, that is a rim shot. Jeff Morrow's on the board. And the answer is?
Shit. I just forgot about it. Oh, my God. Oh.
It's on the tip of his tongue. I can tell it is.
Okay, how long does he get? Does he get it?
Mary Tyler Moore.
All right. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is incorrect, Jeff Morrow. But I have to say, good shot for even like mentioning a sitcom that was probably in the same time, or maybe
Jeffrey
not.
Was
maybe
coming out of college in 78.
Do you
want to
steal
this?
This
is unfair.
You know, I don't. I mean, 1976.
78.
78. What was the question again?
I will say. You know, here. Listen. The question is 1978. It was an episode that covered a turkey drop at a local mall. Here's the hint that I'll drop for both of you. The show is about a radio station in the Midwest. The show was about a radio station.
WKRP, Cincinnati, coming at you.
Jeff Morrow comes in with the rim shot and his own sound effects. He's sending his own applause
I'm
in.
Out which is
wow,
blood.
That's a tough one. I didn't know that one.
Next level. In all fairness, I did have to give you a hint, but we will give Jeff Morrow the point.
Thank
for
you,
that.
Richard. It's fair.
Because he also named, you know what? I'm going to give Morrow a point and a half because he also just dropped at least the name of another television show.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I can name 50 television shows in the 60s. I was not born too late. Then.
Next question.
But you didn't, Jeezy. But you didn't. It is
what kind of court is
this? Morrow to
I'm respectful of your honor.
It is a kangaroo court.
Obviously.
It is a kangaroo court. Question two, multiple choice. What was the name of the rapper Ludacris's 2003 album that debuted at number one on the Billboard charts? A, Chicken and Beer. B, Turkey and Cristal. C, Poultry
Party.
It's Chicken and Beer. Don, no, it's Chicken and Beer. Give me the point.
I think it was Zakarian who came in first, and he is saying...
Poultry
Party. GZ, you are absolutely wrong. It was not Poultry Party. Morrow for the steal.
Chicken and Beer, of course.
Chicken and Beer is correct.
Ludacris went to my high school for 2 years, so I should know that we're in the same
rim shot.
Unbelievable. I love it. My Ludacris story is that he came into one of my restaurants in Atlanta during lunch, and we were not a restaurant that opens for lunch, but we decided we would sit Ludacris because it is Ludacris after all, and he asked for white truffle pizza. And we were not the type of restaurant that had white truffles, Jeffrey Zakarian. We don't just roll with them like you do. So we had to bust out the white truffle butter. But
Jeffrey actually has a fanny pack specially outfitted just for carrying white
He's
truffles.
He's the regular Lamb's Club where we have luxury food and ingredients. So that's fine. No problem. Let's go to the next answer.
Ooh, I like that. Look what happens when Zakarian gets down in trivia. He just starts firing shots at the judge. I love it. Man. I'd expect nothing less.
You watch.
I respect Your Honor.
I respect. Listen, Jeezy, you're an Iron Chef. Here's the good thing about my court. Question three is worth 7.5 points, Jeezy. It's worth 7.5 points. So Morrow's only up 2.5-0. You can win it right here with question three. Question three. Price is Right rules here, gentlemen. So whoever gets closest without going over will win. According to World Atlas, how much chicken does the average American eat in a year? Closest without going over. World Atlas. In pounds, that is GZ with the...
In U.S. only or in the world?
American, U.S.
I've heard
the average American, how many pounds of chicken do they eat in a year without going over? He's so competitive.
600 million.
This is the
final answer. Lock it in.
Hold on. We're going to clarify. This court will allow a re-answer here because it's per person,
sorry.
Not...
Okay, hold on. Let me recalibrate. 6 ounces times 4 pounds per person. What am I, 60 pounds a year.
All right, 60 pounds a year. Morrow, your answer is going to be?
I'm
going to
go 61, Bob.
Morrow taking... Well, first of all, someone has watched Price is Right before. The answer is 110 pounds.
Yes!
So Jeff Morrow.
You never go first. Showcase Showdown 101, bro.
He knows how to play a game.
Isn't that what life is all about, Jeffrey?
No,
I don't
want to.
I don't have
feelings,
it in front of
Jeff.
Me.
I love that I'm winning right now.
I don't have a leak in front of me, but I wish I had like a leak because I would like kind of shave it. Remember how you can cut a leak, Zakarian, and you could use the leak as like a brush for barbecue or something like that. But I would do that right now because I'd make it into a little broom because Morrow just swept you.
Oh, man. I was wondering
around.
Where you're going with that, Blaze, but you found it. You brought
found it
home.
Tell you, I don't, it's hard to compete with you guys, but I'm trying. I'm trying here. Okay, that means, Morrow, you've won the trivia round. You get to make the biggest decision in the battle here. You get to determine whether you decide first or second.
I'll decide second.
You get to debate.
Decide what?
All right, Jeff Morrow's going to take the baseball approach. He will present his argument second. Jeffrey Zakarian, you will present yours first, and we'll do that right after this break.
I love it. Thank you.
All right, we are back in the food court. To recap today in the food court, we have the case of white meat versus dark meat. People tend to strongly prefer one over the other. And our plaintiffs, well, today, they're no exception. The way this works is that each of you will have 3 minutes to state your case. During this 3 minutes, you need to lay out your case and not focus on your opponent or their case. And I feel like this rule today, really, we need to be mindful of this. Use the 3 minutes as your campaigning time to really convince me that you're correct. Are we all clear, gentlemen?
Super, super clear. Crystal clear.
Amazing, amazing. And of course, do not fret. You'll get 2 minutes of rebuttal time to let your opponent know how wrong they are when that time comes. So here we go. We are going to put 3 minutes on the clock. Jeffrey Zakarian, you're going to go first because Jeff Morrow swept the trivia round and decided that you would bat first. You ready to go?
Yes, but my lawyer hasn't arrived yet. Can we wait a few minutes before my attorney gets here?
Oh, man.
No lawyers
are needed in this. I represent myself.
Okay, sorry. No, I'll just do it myself. I'll self-represent. Okay.
Your 3 minutes, why dark meat rules, starts now.
Well, in the 40-plus years I've been cooking, I've cooked a lot of poultry, quail, duck, chicken, turkey, turducken, turchicken, turchicken duckin, and quail duckin, if I may. And at the end of the day, when you add up all those meals and all the savory moments and all the family time, it really comes down to flavor for me and what is the most nutritious form of poultry meat. And I always have found dark meat to be the answer to all the four questions I just posed. Dark meat, you know, it has some very different nuances. It does have a bit more calories, a bit more fat, and a bit more vitamins, actually. So it really adds a layer of evidence to the fact that it not only is more tasty because you can, quite frankly, overcook a dark piece of chicken to the point where it's unrecognizable and it still can be delicious. You cannot do that with a piece of white meat on any bird. It is not only more delicious, it is more nutritious because compared to white meat, dark meat has more iron, zinc, riboflavin, B12, thiamine, B1, B6, B12, and your body needs iron to carry oxygen from cell to cell. So if you want to be in the gym like I am every day, you need to eat dark meat. Because all these vitamins and the B vitamins help out with energy production. And if you want to be as successful as I have, you need energy to conquer the world. So the conclusion for me is dark meat may contain a few more calories. Yes, dark meat contains a little more fat. But the fact is anyone can spare the insignificant extra 30 calories, which is 3 potato chips of fat, for a more nutritious and flavorful cut of meat that will never, ever disappoint and never be dry or stringy or tough, or breaded or dried like white meat, because that's what you have to do to white meat, because this just sucks. Oh. So next time you want to be healthy, grab the dark meat, grab a nice cocktail, and leave the white meat for people in Chicago. I rest my case.
Bastardo.
Well, listen, I will tell you this. Someone has rebounded from the awful trivia round. That was... dare I say, ready for regular real court? That's right. That's not even food court. That like was someone, an argument right there.
That was my 3 minutes for teeth. I have another.
That was, no, it was really good.
I have another 15-minute leitmotif that you haven't heard yet, but I'll play that later.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I love most about your argument, Jeffrey, is that when my favorite part is that it just rang so true because I read the same thing when I Googled that question yesterday. So congratulations. What a barrister.
There's
so many arguments within the argument.
You're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own information. Thank you.
Wow.
Here we go. Morrow's 3 minutes as to why white meat rules starts now.
Let's start with this fact, why white meat rules, Richard and Jeffrey, and that is there's no aortas in white meat. There's no big veins and vascular structure that you find in the thighs, which most of America agrees with me because I do believe the statistic is 78% of America prefers white meat. And that's for a myriad of reasons, but always starting with that weirdly colored thigh drum. You cook it perfectly and you open it up. Whoa, there's all the internal vascular structure of this bird I'm eating. I don't want to be reminded of those things when I'm taking a bite of a juicy piece of white meat, which lends itself so well to brining, to marinating, right? That beautiful breast, if it's been air chilled and still has the skin on it. Or how about your ever fancy airline breast, Jeffrey, that I know you love in sing the praises of vroom, I'm a plane, where am I going? Shooting right in your mouth, Jeffrey, because that's how you want it. With that crispy skin, bubbly, golden brown, rendered perfectly in a pan, cooked in partially of its own fat, the subcutaneous layer melting. I'm making this up, too. I'm not reading this, see? This is good. And yeah. Then you get that little bit of nub, and then you cut it because it's been brined or salted perfectly, and it's juicy, and it's even in the texture. Oh, the texture, Richard, of that white meat is undeniably addictive. And if cooked right, of course, yeah, you can overcook anything. Jeffrey, I've had all your overcooked food at all your restaurants and on the set of The Kitchen. And it's, yeah, I don't like overcooked food. But if you teach, give the cook the tools, which is a simple instant read thermometer, you got it perfect every time. And that beautiful tapered breast, you get a little something, maybe a little crunchy, maybe a little charred on the end there, right on that tapered tip, and then the big juicy portion. Or you could pound it out into a cutlet. How versatile is the thigh? Not very versatile unless you grind it or take that dumb bone out, and then you got to work around the aorta in there. But that breast, you cook it perfectly. And one more thing before you ding me out, chicken wings. Enough said.
Wow, I'm glad we got the chicken wing comment in there at the end. I'm kind of surprised how excited I am about white meat poultry right now. That was an incredible response. A lot to think about here. You know, there is, Mauro, skin on thighs
very,
as well.
So, very,
you know,
thick.
A lot of your may I reboot? Was, may I rebuttal? Know,
crispy what? Skin.
Whoa, no. Crystal,
you
keep
will.
Control over
hold
the,
on one second. Producer Crystal.
The defendant.
Chicken wings, enough said, Mauro. That's how you close this out. And I'm assuming you're letting us know that the wing is part of the
it
breast.
It is part of the breast. It is technically white meat. I mean, there's two different camps, but I view that beautiful wing, especially the flat portion, as
this,
white meat.
Okay. This court will allow
thank you.
That the wing is part of the breast. This court will allow that into the argument. And it's sort of like
that is not accurate. I
a surprise. Like, I don't know. You found the murder. You found the murder weapon. You are not allowed to object. You
can't object.
Cannot object. This court has allowed the chicken wing to enter
thank
the
you,
discussion.
Richard.
That is not accurate.
On the side of breast.
Your mom's not
Jeffrey
accurate.
Jeffrey Zakarian.
The drumette is attached to the breast.
You are.
So we're going to go there. But the chicken wing is ultimately and positively and without creation dark meat, A. And B, there is skin on the chicken thigh as well. And C, you can brine a chicken. You can. I am talking, please.
I know there's skin.
Order, order, order.
What is this?
Order
this is the not
court?
The agreement.
Order
I did not agree with this
excuse
format,
me?
Richard. He's
order
breaking
the
all the rules. Crystal,
please,
get control.
GZ.
You can brine.
GZ, approach the bench, please, virtually. Can we get some order? Can we, sir,
okay.
Can we get some
so
order?
Let me go back
court?
To the
because I've never had to have
the
this conversation with anyone as well-dressed as yourself. Yeah, your two-minute rebuttal. You can say whatever you want here.
Okay,
it starts
the end
now.
Of the chicken wing, which is not the drumette, is dark meat, A. There is skin on dark meat. Why you said so and you can crisp it is just a false. It's what you're doing.
I never
is
said there's not skin.
Can
you're,
I please,
you're arguing.
Can I please talk?
I never said that. Just because I omitted it doesn't mean I said it.
He is
wait.
Leading. He is leading.
Jeff Mauro, your turn
witness.
Will come up.
There is skin on the chicken thigh. I brine all my chicken thighs. Everything you can do with a chicken thigh and a chicken breast, you can do with any part of the chicken. So the fact of the matter is much more moisture and fat content. And by the way, the aorta goes through the entire chicken and mostly comes up in the heart. So there is a vein in the thigh, but there's veins all over. And inside the filet under the chicken breast, there's a giant, giant piece of skin and a piece of fat that you have to take off and rip off. So the filet chicken, the chicken breast has just as many flaws as the chicken thigh. However, you want to cook something?
Comes the list.
If you want to cook something that is really delicious and stays unctuous and crispy and moist the entire time, you're not cooking a chicken breast because that's for garbage people. So if you're in a plane, when I fly my G5, we don't serve chicken breast. We serve chicken thighs. And if you get a chicken breast on a plane at 36,000 feet, it tastes like shoe leather. And that shoe is not an Italian-made shoe. It's a crappy shoe, probably made in some sweat factory in Chicago. They still have them if you don't know that. So you might say it's more popular, but you don't. You've never had a great chicken burger made with dark meat. You might say it's more tender, but you've never eat a piece of confit chicken fried in its own fat that's unctuous. And you might say More people like it. But if you want to have a real piece of fried chicken, you're going to go for that delicious thigh that's crispy, moist. And that bone, what that bone does, it gives it structure. It gives it foundation. It gives it love. I'm done. I rest my case.
Wow. GZ coming in as the P. Diddy of chefs. When is the Memorial Day labor? When's the white party happening? Or maybe, I don't know, like I'm jumping on the plane with you. What a flex, GZ.
Thank you.
Flex in that round. A nice response. The word unctuous was used. That always gets extra points.
He did say unctuous.
Jeff Morrow, you got 2 minutes left here. Your rebuttal to why perhaps dark meat is overrated starts.
Chicken wings are classified on many professional chicken-based boards. Based in America as white meat. So you can suck it, Zakarian. Two, I never claimed that there is no skin on the chicken thigh. Of course, but it's just thick. And the subcutaneous level of layer of fat is even thicker, so it's harder to render and get that skin perfect. Great. Like, I'll eat a fried chicken thigh any day of the week. But guess what? Have you ever had a fried chicken thigh in a sandwich? You take a bite, and sometimes you get a little bit of that stuff in there, a little bit of that wet fat, a little bit of that yellow fat, a little bit of that super dark bloody meat. That's not good for sandwiches. But when you have a perfectly fried chicken or a cutlet, maybe even evenly pounded, or just plump in whole and unpounded, coated in a craggly golden brown fried chicken crust, and you put that with a little iceberg, a little Roma tomatoes, and just some good old mayonnaise on a soft bun. That, to me, is chicken personified. That's why our people came over from the old country with the chickens, and then they bestowed it upon the Americas. That's why we're in this country in the Statue of Liberty, because of chickens in the Declaration of Independence. Our forefathers fought on the fields of Nam to give us chicken and to make sure that we eat it in the white meat form only. We didn't die down face in the muck. My grandfather didn't come on the schooner, the steamer, from Napoli to make dark meat. America!
You can't handle the truth. Jeff Morrow jumping up.
Yeah, so
what
good.
A response. The word cutlet has been used frequently. One of my favorite words. And we are at the end of the round here, both rounds. 5 minutes of debate. Jeffrey Zakarian, Jeff Morrow, throwing it down. And now comes the hard part, the difficult part for me as a judge, because I love dark meat and white meat. I love Jeffrey Zakarian and Jeff Morrow. But I am going to have to make this very, very tough decision. I'm going to step away to my chambers, which is a few feet off screen here, and I will be back with our verdict. Let's take a quick break. Okay, we are back in the food court. It has been an epic, and I do not use this word loosely, battle between dark and white meat. Jeffrey Zakarian on the side of dark meat, Jeff Morrow on the side of white meat. Of course, gentlemen, before I deliver my verdict, just remember that this decision is based only on the debate and not my personal opinions of the matter, of which we will discuss offline at some point in the future if I am as blessed to be on a set with you at some time, which may never, ever happen again. This was a tough one. I mean, GZ stepping up right off the bat, letting us know he's got 40-plus years of experience in the matter. He talked about flavor. And the surprise, really, was GZ throwing down the nutritional information about dark meat. It's got all these letters, all these vitamins, B this, B that. You look on the screen, if you're watching Workout Wednesdays, maybe the key is not just all the rowing. Maybe it's dark meat poultry. Jeff Morrow, on the other hand, the word cutlet, one of my favorite words, comes up a few times. He mentions those little crispy, tapered tips of white meat. Hey, maybe it's the magician and not the wand. You got to cook it perfectly, a perfectly cooked chicken breast. Is there anything better than that? It's the popular vote. It's the people's choice. His ancestors bringing it over. Maybe just chicken breasts coming over for that perfect cutlet with just mayonnaise. And can we just take this moment to respect that the Sandwich King came in and was like, no, this isn't about sous vide this and 1,000 condiments on a perfect sandwich. It's a cutlet with iceberg lettuce and mayo. This court has made a decision. And the winner of dark meat versus white meat is... It is Jeff Rizakarian and dark meat.
Take that, Chicago.
Well, I don't know why it's you keep bringing the city into it.
There a little jardinera on your dry piece of white meat will be delicious.
Listen, this was not easy
for me.
You're
making all kinds of coin on that.
I felt like I was the state prosecutor here because, you know, I had to legally, I was bound to take one side. And I do legitimately love white meat. Obviously, I need to go on the record as saying I truly adore chicken thighs and fried chicken thighs and fried and any type of dark meat. But, you know, on behalf of the peoples that truly love white meat, you know, there's some great benefits that I truly appreciate as well. So, Jeffrey, I thank you.
I want to say, Mauro, this was close. This was a lot closer than I thought. Again, my personal feelings might be dark meat. But then you had me sort of wavering there. It got very, very close up at the end.
Plump.
It was really the nutritional aspect that Zakarian brought to the game.
Oh, he read the. He said riboflavin. He doesn't even know what that is.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for throwing it down and making your time available to us. Thank you, everyone, for listening to The Food Court. I'm your judge, Richard Blaise. Thanks so much for being here. I hope both of you had lots of fun, and I hope, Mauro, you are not too mad at me and that we can split a sandwich somewhere. No, we're not going to split a sandwich. We'll each have
split
our own somewhere
what
down
we,
the road.
You know, are we going steady?
I know. I knew it as soon as I said it. For more Jeffrey, you can find his new podcast, Four Courses with Jeffrey Zakarian, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You also have a pretty good chance of spotting Jeffrey anytime you turn on the Food Network. He's on Instagram at Jeffrey Zakarian, and you can catch more Jeff on social media at Jeff Mauro. His direct-to-consumer line of prime butcher boxes, sandwich kits, craft jardineras, and rubs called Mauro Provisions, and come on over. The podcast he does with his sister and the name of his cookbook on shelves now. I mean, not to mention, go just find these guys because they got 100 other projects that they're doing that we just can't put on the paper here. Listen, everyone, what do you think about this verdict? I know that you are dying to tell me that I got it all wrong or that I got it 100% right. Don't hold back. Be that internet troll. Let us know on the Food Court Pod Instagram or at Richard Blaise across social media, including at Richard Blaise Official on TikTok now. Food Court is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Richard Blaise. My producer is Crystal Bamahi. Food Court was created by our executive producer, Christopher Hasiotis. The rest of my Food Court clerks are David Wasserman and Jasmine Blaise. Our theme song is by Jason Neesmith. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Gentlemen,
thank you so much. Food Court with Richard Blaise.